God we serve is a God of celebration. And earlier, as I was anointing Bob and Peggy, I was reminded of the oil that the Lord allowed us to use last week, which was to seal the marriage covenant. And that we were to be ambassadors of the Most High. My first fleshy reaction when I came into this room this morning was, God, what have you done? But my helpers came, and the work was done. The Holy Spirit began to impress me to make sure that we would use what He had provided through no work of our own. And as I went with the oil to touch Peggy and Bob, I reminded them that after every single marriage ceremony, there's a real time of celebration, food, and then dancing. And, you know, my friend said to me, would you like us to remove it? And I said, no. I didn't know why, and I didn't know why the room needed to be turned around. I can remember when there was a celebration in my parents' home. And the kitchen was the biggest room of the house, so we emptied out the kitchen. And we made sure to prepare that the food would be ready. And then the dance floor was prepared, and the people who came with instruments would have a space. We would celebrate. We would celebrate their entrance into our home. If we had to focus on the picking up part, we would have been destroyed. Because after every party, how many liked that he cleaned up the house? How many enjoy cleaning up the house? You don't like it. And my first reaction was to get a little upset today. But I want you guys to pray for Paul. Because he left this week. I don't know which day. But this young man, Jose, has replaced him. Or come in his place this morning. And he had no clue. He even didn't know we were supposed to be here. He kind of knew, but he forgot. And so he needs prayer. And it's our job to intercede for him. And it's our job to help him. Why? Because this is a stressful situation sometimes. How many know parties can be stressful? After the fact. They're partying, ready to party. There's no stress. And this morning, as I was reading the word, the Lord was reminding me of something that happened yesterday. I was listening to a word being given. And it talked about Abraham. Abraham, after an entire battle, delivering the Sodomites out of bondage, and his nephew Lot. Now, some of you wouldn't like to deliver the Sodomites. You probably say, let them. Amen? I would like to just get rid of them. But they need what? What do they need?
Prayer.
They need intercession, they need prayer, and they need deliverance. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. Abraham didn't look at what they did. He looked at who they were, and they were God's creation. And when he got done and he won the battle, he won the battle with some servants. Jose is a servant. We became servants to each other as we went forward. And we won the battle because God had his way and he changed us around this morning. And then, after the battle, Abraham stopped by the city of peace called Salem, which today is called Jerusalem. And he met a man who was a king and a priest. And the man brought out bread and wine. The man, Melchizedek, had no background, no lineage, no parents. And then I heard a word. Because he had no background, he is of the similitude of Jesus Christ. Are you ready to celebrate this morning the victory that God has given in your marriage to the Lamb? You say, wait a minute, he hasn't returned. Oh, yes, he has. Look at your neighbor and say, he's living inside of you by his Spirit. Is he fully alive in me by his Spirit? Oh, we got a debate. How many take 10% of him? 20%? 30%? 70? 75? 90? How many will go for 100% of Jesus is inside of us? Look at your neighbor and say, you've got 100% of him right now. And it's time to celebrate. Stop looking at the old dead carcass. Oh, you don't think you look like an old dead carcass? Wait a few years.
Hey.
That's right. Like about 60 for you. All teasing aside, the older we get, we realize that this flesh is temporary. And it will not enter heaven unless it dies. And so as it dies to self, as you and I allow him to become the king and priest in us, we will have that celebration. And we don't need to wait for his return. He's already made it. And I can guarantee you this, when we are in harmony together, there's more of him. Grab the neighbor's hand. Pray in the Spirit. Just pray in the Spirit. Release your spirit right now. As this communion gets stronger, Lord, as this time of celebration that is unifying each member of the house of God, each member of the body of Christ is becoming in tune to each other. They're becoming sensitive to each other. They're becoming one before the Holy Spirit. And Lord Jesus, have your way in this communion today. I declare this to be the bread and wine that Melchizedek brought forth, which was a future coming of the Most High God in the flesh of Jesus Christ. I give you praise today that it is his body and his blood that we receive as we are remembered, reattached, reconnected for the glory of the Most High and not for the glorifying of any one of us. Declare it with me. It's not for my glory. It's for the glory of Jesus Christ. As we become one together. As we are reattached to each other. Remembered. A body remembered. Not a bunch of dry bones. Like Ezekiel saw, dead dry bones. Now we're coming to life. Lift your brother up. Come on, stand up. Lift your brother and sister up. Come on. Say, we are rising.
We are rising.
As one body. Connected to each other. Recommitted. As one unit before God. And before man. Age has no barrier. Sex or gender has no barrier. We are one before God. You're part of my flesh. You're flesh of his flesh. You're bone of his bone. And when we partake together, the unity gets stronger. And we will shake this earth. The first earth that shakes is my own. And then the rest of the earth around me. So if you're getting earthy, brother, or if you're getting earthy, sister, look up. God is alive in me. And God is alive in you. And rising to the occasion. There is more of Jesus in me right now than there was yesterday. Hallelujah. Live Jesus.
Will you bow your heads, please?
Father, I thank you for your ability to release unto any one of us the word of grace, the word of faith, and that which will change us from what we were to what we need to be. This morning I heard Isaiah chapter 1, and you don't really need to go there because, well, you can take your Bible out, but that's not where we're going to really concentrate on. But I just want to give you verse 19. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. That's verse 19 and 20. And next to this particular part was a sure word. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. So I want to kind of give you that as a thrust this morning, that the mouth of the Lord speaks. The mouth of the Lord can be my mouth, your mouth, a child's mouth, a mouth on TV, a mouth on a radio, a mouth on a CD, a mouth in a movie. What we need to be aware of is that when it is a word from the Lord, there's a jolt that takes place on the inside of us. There's like a quickening of our spirit that actually impregnates us. How many have ever had this kind of a word? And you know that it's God. And it doesn't matter, hell or high water, you're going to go forward because it is God and the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Okay? So I said to the Lord, okay, what is it that you want me to really understand, to try to relate to them, how you speak and the way you speak? And quickly, I went back to the men's Bible study on Friday, and we talked a little bit about how God speaks. And sometimes we have this incredible thought pattern that comes, that he's going to come out like a roaring thunder at us from mountaintop, and we're way down on the bottom sitting underneath the river in the middle of the stones, and the water is just pouring over us. Needless to say, many of us have this type of concept. Who am I? Can really God talk to me? Can he give me a word that I can walk with, that I can talk with, that I can confess? Now, I remember the first few times that the Lord began to show me that he wanted me to do certain things or act in a certain way or to go forward in an obedience. I had a lot of problems with speaking it. I could think about God's word that had been given, but to speak it to somebody else was like, anybody relate? Yet the word of the Lord, undeclared, is what? What's the word of the Lord, undeclared? Not spoken. What is it? It's just a seed. You've got a seed in your hand. It's not planted, and it's going to stay dry, and it's going to what? It'll sit. It's not going to die. It'll die when you put it in the ground. Right? But if it just sits in dry air, in fact, I listened to the History Channel several months ago, and they found some little seeds of barley in a tomb where the pharaohs are buried 3,000 something years. And they planted some of these barley seeds in England, and they grew. So much for a dead seed sitting there. Looks dead, no life in it. But there is sealed up on the inside life. Now Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you believe and declare with declare with the neighbor's mouth, declare with a silent thought. Catching on now. Declaring with your mouth will change the future. It'll usually rattle somebody's cage. Did you ever declare the truth that God has given you and you rattle somebody's cage? Yeah. And all hell breaks loose, and then you make a commitment. I'm sick and tired of being persecuted, so therefore I'm going to be
silent.
I'm going to think about God's plan. I'm not going to declare God's plan because, after all, I'm sick of being persecuted. So there's a time and place. When to speak, what to speak, and to whom. Amen? Jesus is talking to Peter. Gethsemane is a few hours away. Peter hasn't got a clue it's inside of him. And we've talked about this before. And he declares with his mouth, I'll never deny you. But a few hours later, I don't know you. So what was the problem with Peter? Fear. He bowed to pressures of the old flesh, just like me and just like you. So what does God do? God provides grace and mercy. But there is a time that that word needs to come to life. Amen? There's a time when Abraham, in Romans chapter 4, which is where we're going now, Romans chapter 4 is prefixed in the NIV as Abraham justified by faith. And you can study that chapter, but I want to go to a place where you're going to see that the promise is activated by faith. So we're going to look at verse 16, and then we'll probably bounce around here and there. Therefore, the promise, which is the word, comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offsprings, not only to those who are of the law, which is the first covenant, but also to those who are of faith, or of the faith of Abraham. So Abraham is an example to us of someone who had to take his eyes off the circumstances, and he had to believe that what God had described to him, spoken to him, given him as a promise, would come to life if he would speak it. I believe that the promise sometimes sits inside of us for many years because we bow, just like Peter, to fear. And when we're bowing to fear, isn't he belong to a negative camp? fear and the negative camp, don't they work together? Yeah. So when we're bowing to fear, we're bowing to the enemy camp. And we talked about this before. But Abraham is coming out of fear and into faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. So sometimes you have a hope of something. And you hold on to it in your heart, but you don't speak it. So obviously, the seed sits in your heart. And it doesn't get to manifest. It doesn't get to fall into the ground. Doesn't get to break open. Doesn't rot. The shell. So therefore, there's no plant and no fruit. Got it? Therefore, the promise, which is the word, comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed. I like the guarantee part. To all Abraham's offsprings. That means me. Not only those who are of the law, which are the Jew, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations or nationalities. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead. Oh. And calls things that are not as though they really are. How many have had a tough week this week? How many have declared it's been a tough week this week with their mouth? Okay. Have you created for the gift of life and resurrection that is in you, or have you released the spirit of fear to a greater degree? Because you see, it's a setup. You've had a bad week this week, so therefore you're going to have a bad week. And if you think it was bad that week, wait till tomorrow. Wait till tomorrow. It's going to get much worse. And the thoughts start flowing. Amen? And the mouth starts... Well, what happens to the mouth? It's prophesying, isn't it? You are now prophesying under an anointing of a demon of fear. Wonderful. How awesome it is to be under an anointing of a demon spirit called fear. I've done it. And you've done it. How do we shut it down? How many sometimes feel helpless? Like Peter. After he realized what he had done, he wept. Now there was another one who denied the Lord. Same night, if I remember correctly. But he didn't repent. He thought it was hopeless. So he commits suicide. What is your joy? Your joy is in choosing to repent. Is in choosing to repent, you're changing your mind from being negative and confessing the negatives of next week into existence. By prophesying that you will have a tremendous week tomorrow and a tremendous week this week, what's going to happen? Yes, you're going to be shaken in your thought life. But you can declare God's word. Like Abraham. Not going by the feelings. Not going by the emotions. But by going by what God says about me and about you. How many got a jolt when we got up today and began to declare that we are a part of the body of Christ? How many felt that impact? Come on. If you got impacted, speak it. Say, I got impacted. When I declared that I'm part of the body. I'm not a leftover from last year's meal. I'm part of this celebration today. Amen? And it gets better tomorrow. Yeah, and now Abraham is looking at his dead body, isn't he? Because he's had a promise. Verse 18, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. So he became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him. He became that which was said about him when he began to declare it. So shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Yep. So now he's looking at the circumstances and he's making sure that he doesn't look any further. Because if he keeps on looking at his dead body, what's next? No baby. Impotency. And I could go on. His body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. So now there's two dead folks looking for a promise. If they looked at each other, it's hopeless. If they looked at the Lord, the deadness is no longer the focus. Verse 20 shows you how he succeeded. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. So was he dependent on his own flesh? No. He was dependent on the power of the Most High God to recreate Sarah's womb that had never bore a child, even when she was a young girl. And she had been laughed at all these years. And she laughed in the tent, didn't she? When she heard the word. She giggled. Verse 22. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. So now God is saying to Abraham, you know what? You're my kind of guy. You're believing for something impossible, and you're trusting me to do it. So what's important is to get the sure word from God, isn't it? Because when you've got that sure word from God, you can begin to declare it. And not bow to unbelief. Because if you bow to unbelief, what happens? You're cooked. You're facing a lousy week next week, just like you had last week. It's up to you. Are you going to focus on the pain you went through last week? After all, Abraham couldn't even probably make it up the stairs. And here he is thinking, I'm going to be a father? Uh-huh. 23. The words, it was credited to him, was written not for him alone, but also for us. That's 2,000 years old, those words. To whom God will credit righteousness for us, who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Now, do you think it's possible that Abraham had a vision of the resurrected Christ? Do you think it's possible that maybe Abraham had a vision of a new baby coming out of Sarah's womb? Do you think it possible that maybe they had a dream or something to confirm that this stranger who had come to have lunch had said, you're going to have a baby by this time next year? Gave him a grace that needed to come from God himself so that he could declare with his mouth that he was going to have a baby. He changed his name, didn't he? He became a father of many nations, Abraham. Before that, his name was Abram. And he declared it over and over. Now, God will credit righteousness for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. We talked about that Tuesday. I'm justified. I'm justified by the blood. As I was holding up the elements earlier, I was aware that the blood of Jesus Christ covers and flows in us. This is symbolic so that we can get a clue that we all partake of the same loaf and we drink from the same cup or receive from the same cup, whether we drink or not. It doesn't matter. As long as we take it from the same source. What is God saying to us today? Do you have a sure word from God? Do you have a word that God has given you, that you have had a jolt inside of you, that you know that it's God that spoke it and not man? He might have used a man's mouth. He might have used a woman's mouth. He might have confirmed it with a word out of the scripture. And yet, fear holds you from releasing that word. How many can relate? They've done it. Thank you. Confession is good. That is releasing your word into this atmosphere. It will die. The Sun of Righteousness will shine on it. The Holy Ghost, like rain, will make it moist. And it'll crack open. And yes, you will feel like you're dying. But are you going to stay dead? What do you think happened when Sarah, who hadn't had a normal flow, probably for, let's say, 30 years, feel something moving in her tummy? What do you think happened?
Joy.
I don't know. I would say that the enemy probably told her she was having gas pains. You don't think he was going to let her off the hook? She was the one that giggled. And then as her tummy grew, she probably thought, well, it might have been a tumor. I don't believe for one moment that they didn't go through 9 months of torment. Because I know the pattern of anything that I have carried in my heart and brought it forth day by day before God and declared it before God, and it didn't get easier.
Amen.
All right. It's not intended to go easy. It's intended to be difficult for a season. But I'm sure that by the time she got out to here, probably about a foot and a half in front of her, that she can't even see her toes anymore. Now the unbelief has been dealt with, and she's starting to say, gee, you know what? I really am pregnant. Do you think she was related to Thomas? Thank you. Are you and I related to Thomas?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Is it hopeless for the Thomases? No. Because I can just see Thomas when he put his faith out and he looked at Jesus and the Lord showed him his hands and his feet. He didn't go touch. He made a declaration. What was his declaration? What did he confess?
I won't believe until I put my hand in his side.
Yeah. But when he saw,
the eyes have seen, my hands have touched. When he saw, he knew.
Yeah. But he made another declaration. He says, my Lord and
my God.
My God. My Lord and my God. my Lord and my God. What do you think happened on the inside of him? Was he like Sarah? My Lord and my God. He had heard him say, I will resurrect in 3 days. He had heard him say, they will lift me up. And I will be gone for 3 days. But on the third day I will rebuild. And he had heard all those things. They were not flesh to him. They were not a sure word to him. Who were they a sure word for? It was a sure word for who?
Christ.
Christ, and there was one other.
Saint John.
John. Correct. Because you see the difference between the reactions out of Peter and the reactions out of John. You see a reaction out of Thomas, and you don't see the reaction out of that John, that loving one. That irritation to the rest of the group. He's always on the Lord's chest. You know, I can just imagine what it was like to hang around with John around. He's always pouring out love to the Lord. And the Lord's always pouring out love into him. I mean, who does he think he is? And I could probably add a few blankety blanks. He was an irritation. Did you ever have an irritation in your family? Were you ever an irritation? Thank you. So you can join John. He always knows the answers. He's trusting in everything. And what about him? Those were the words that Peter spoke. Yeah. What about him? What about John? What about him? Is he going to live forever? Here I am. I'm going to be led to death. Thanks a lot, Lord. What about him? And what the Lord says to him, what's it to you? If I let him live into fullness of life. What's it to you if I don't let him die at all? What is your problem, Peter? Why are you focused on everyone else? Thomas had a worse problem. He didn't believe the girls either. Those women and their visions, big deal. Well, is that about right? What am I saying to you today? That sure word, when it is yours and it's in your heart, I don't care who gives you an argument, you will respond in some way to let them know you are not moving. You will respond in some way, and sometimes it might not be pleasant for the one who hears what you have to say. Amen?
Amen.
It's going to hurt. That sure word, when it is becoming yours and it has been broken inside of you and it has cracked and is now blossoming and you've got some of the fruit. What are the fruit? Knowing that this is what God spoke, knowing that this is how God spoke it, and knowing how it's progressing because you can feel it growing inside of you. That was Sarah's confirmation. I am going to have a baby. After all, my husband is going to be a father of many nations. After all, there is a son coming. Why do you think she called him Isaac? Yeah. The very laughter that had come out in a mocking way had to be transformed with fruit. She called him Isaac. And he became what? Her deliverance. Well, did you hear about this? I'm finally a mama. Hallelujah. And all the ones that had irritated her were probably dead. Do you hear me? The ones that could be irritating you now could be taken away by the time you get your answer to prayer. Is it going to change your joy? No. That cloud of witnesses were celebrating with Sarah. And they were clapping their hands and saying, yes, Sarah, you finally got a baby. Glory to God. There is a surrounding cloud that is excited about you and I joining together, becoming one in harmony before God and before man. And yes, we are pregnant with the next level of revelation, looking for the word to come to us, a word of truth, a word that is sure for what he wants for your life and my life. And my destiny is locked up in him. Look at your neighbor, say, your destiny's locked up in him. Amen. See, your destiny, your future, that which you will become. You don't have to wait till you're 90. Amen. Thank goodness, my brother said. Thank goodness. You know, but it doesn't matter how long you and I have to wait, because the plan of God is eternal. So what do? We wait for a sure word. We ask for a sure word. We ask for a confirming word. And we don't give up until we get it.